Survivors of an earthquake, as you've been hearing, which hit the high Atlas Mountains in Morocco on Friday, slept out in the open for a second night as searches continue on the slopes for people buried in the rubble of collapsed buildings. More than 2,000 people have died and a further 2,000 people have been injured, many critically, with entire villages reported to have been flattened. Journalist Martin Jay, who survived the quake, is based in Marrakesh and spoke to us earlier.
So I live in a country house 55 kilometres south of Marrakesh in a village or a town called Amizmiz, which is actually very, very close to the epicentre. We're right on that line. And my country house is built with traditional earth walls, which are 45 centimetres thick. And the whole thing shook. It woke me up. My wife was screaming. There was panic for 1 second, which felt like a minute. But within that 1 second, when our bedroom was literally vibrating, almost like a tank was just passing by, we both instinctively just jumped out of the bed. I grabbed her hand and we rushed out of the bedroom as quickly as we could, passing a pile of bricks that had fallen because one of the internal walls, the brick walls, had just completely collapsed in front of the bedroom door. And so when we got out of the house, I think it took a minute before it suddenly became apparent that we'd experienced an earthquake. It didn't come to us immediately. We just didn't know. We didn't have time to even think to process it. When you're panicking like that, you just think of getting out of a house which you're convinced is going to collapse on top of you.
It must have been such a shock to see that damage. Have you been able to take it in? And what does it look like now?
It took a while to take it in. I mean, it even took an hour afterwards to actually stand there in front of all those bricks and see the damage that they'd done, and then to walk around the house and see the massive cracks, vertical cracks in the walls in all four corners, which means, of course, the house is not very strong now. It may not suffer, it may not sustain a second earthquake. And that's, of course, the worry at the moment, is that those authorities are saying a second one's coming. So, we're more worried now than we could have ever been, I suppose. But I think the way that you take it in, the way you process it, is that you look at the poor people who lost their homes and the poor people who died and who are those who lost their families, and you just are so grateful. You're so aware of how incredibly lucky you were. And I tell my wife that all the time. I said, we made it. We survived it. You know, I mean, the media has focused very much on Marrakesh and the nightlife of Marrakesh and the sort of middle classes being out at 11:30, yeah. But, you know, the real story for me is the countryside. That's where the real devastation is, you know, in terms of hundreds and hundreds of houses on the entire, hillsides. But the authorities have been quite slow to pick up the numbers, the actual numbers of people who are sleeping outside. Some people have been told, if you live in an old house, you cannot go back to your house. Others are stoically refusing any advice from anybody and just doing what they want and have gone back. And then you've got, of course, the thousands of people, you know, I estimate thousands of people who are just homeless and don't know what to do and haven't got anywhere to go. There was talk yesterday, of refuge centres being created, you know, and blankets and water and food and essentials, things like that. It's taking a very long time to do. So I think... you know, I don't really think about my problems and my risks of whether I have to survive another earthquake. I when I'm surrounded on all four corners of people who are in a really, really bad state.
Is your sense that the authorities there have a handle on this at all? Is it too much of a slow reaction, or what's your perspective on
my
that?
My sense is that they're doing quite a good job with the resources they've got. But you have to understand, it's a huge area that they're covering. You know, you're talking about hundreds of square miles. And what we're witnessing, what Moroccan media is starting to pick up from late yesterday afternoon, is the sheer scale. You know, because media today, you know, we use drones. And so everybody's putting drones up into the sky. And we're seeing for the first time, you know, hundreds of houses on the sides of hills just cascading into one another and no sign of life. And when you see that, you know, you start to understand how many of these hills can there be there, where you don't even have a few people running around waving at helicopters. You've got nothing at all, nothing, you know. So that's a lot of people buried under rubble. And the authorities are starting to realize that this is a bigger problem than they realized. The military is doing everything it can. But in many cases, what we're hearing from people is that a lot of these villages in the mountain area of the Upper Atlas. A lot of these villages are cut off from emergency services because the roads, the little tiny tracks that go up to them, are covered in a new earth, you know, a landslide, which the earthquake created, or in some cases they've been gorged open. But, you know, honestly, the Moroccans need help. You know, and there's a lot of political pride in Rabat not to ask for it from France and Britain. But these countries have offered, and I wondered in the next couple of days when the government actually acknowledges just how big this problem is, hopefully some sort of political solution will be reached whereby Britain and France and Germany and others can help.
And that was journalist Martin Jay in Marrakesh. And later in the programme, we'll hear from an Irish doctor who has been treating some of the injured.